In the dark hours following the crucifixion on that first Good Friday, the disciples of Jesus were gathered behind closed doors. Their hearts were heavy with fear and their minds clouded by doubt. The brutal death of their leader had shattered their hopes, had left them in a state of confusion and apprehension. The man that they had followed, believed in, based their hopes on, was gone. His promises of a new kingdom seemingly buried with him in the tomb. The scene of fear and uncertainty sets the stage for one of the most profound and pivotal moments in Christian history, as recounted in our gospel reading for today from John chapter 20. The disciples, gathered in secrecy for fear of the Jews, are suddenly confronted with the reality that would forever change the course of their lives and the future of Christianity. Our gospel for today starts with this verse. On the evening of that day, the very first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Imagine the emotions that must have been in that room. The initial shock and disbelief, perhaps maybe even terror, at seeing Jesus standing alive before them, followed by an overwhelming sense of relief and awe. The person they had grieved so deeply over was not stolen or lost to the grave, but was standing among them, very much alive, breathing, speaking, giving them peace. This encounter marks a transition from despair to hope, from doubt to faith. The disciples, who had been paralyzed by fear, start to grasp the reality of the resurrection. The appearance of Jesus is not just a confirmation of his physical resurrection, but also a powerful affirmation of his divinity and the truth of his teaching. It is a moment that challenges their understanding of life, death, the very nature of God's kingdom. The story of the disciples' encounter with the risen Christ offers us a glimpse into the heart of the Easter message, a message of an unexpected, life-altering transformation that turns fear into peace, doubt into faith, and despair into hope. As I just mentioned at the beginning of our text, we find the disciples smothered by fear, gathered behind closed doors, when suddenly Jesus stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." The scripture reads, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." In his surprise appearance, Jesus doesn't chastise the disciples for their lack of faith, but instead gives them his peace. His presence alone is comforting, but his words, "Peace be with you," restore their hope. Coupled with the visible wounds on his hands and his side, the disciples are moved from a state of terror to one of peacefulness. It is a vivid illustration of how God's peace can penetrate and transform our lives, including our deepest fears. In times of turmoil and doubt, the words, "Peace be with you," that we hear almost every Sunday, are a powerful reminder of the peace that Jesus brings, a peace that doesn't depend on our external circumstances, but is rooted in the reality of his resurrection and presence. It's in our baptism and through the word and sacraments that we are given the peace Christ offers. Regular worship attendance, being in the word, is what keeps us at peace in a world that is often characterized by unrest and anxiety. When we receive Christ's peace through faith, we can move from being captives of fear to being messengers of his peace, reflecting that peace and hope in every aspect of our lives, and even extending it to those around us. People will notice something different about us, which is why St. Peter wrote that we should always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter 3:15. Before I go on to the next verses, I'd like to ask you a question. You might know the answer, or this question might be a mind twister for you. I'll let you be the judge. What is the only man-made thing in heaven? What is the only man-made thing in heaven? The only man-made thing in heaven are the scars that Jesus still bears in his hand and in his side. After offering his peace to the disciples, Jesus provides tangible proof of the resurrection, showing his wounds, his scars to those present in the upper room. This moment in which he provides them with concrete evidence of his crucifixion and resurrection is critical, moving the disciples from doubt to belief. It is physical proof that Jesus standing before them is the same Jesus who was crucified by you and me, by mankind, but is now risen and alive. This proof not only transforms their skepticism into belief, but also prepares them for the mission that Jesus is about to entrust to them. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It is the definitive proof that not only Jesus has overcome death, but he also offers us eternal life. When faced with doubt or skepticism, either from within us or from outside of us, we can look back at this fundamental truth as the very foundation of our belief. The resurrection is not just a historical event, but a continual source of hope and empowerment for our faith journey. Like the disciples, we are called to fully embrace this truth, allowing it to strengthen our faith and encourage us in our mission as followers and messengers of Christ. Moving on to verses 20 through 23, it reads, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.'" With these words, Jesus not only reassures the disciple, but gives them purpose. By breathing the Holy Spirit on them, he equips them for the task ahead, transforming them from scared followers hiding behind closed doors into powerful messengers of the gospel. The gift of the Holy Spirit given to all who have faith is crucial for the task given to us. Jesus' commission to all believers is spelled out for us in the last chapter of Matthew. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Matthew 28:19-20. In our various vocations, whether it be in our families, our workplaces, our communities, and even in our church, the mission remains the same: to be witnesses of Christ's love and instruments of his forgiveness and peace and grace. The empowering of the Holy Spirit, as demonstrated to the disciples, is not just for a select few, but for all who believe in his name. As we embrace our God-given mission, let us labor with a confidence that the same Spirit who empowered the first disciples is at work in us today, guiding, strengthening, and using us to fulfill God's purposes in the world. The second half of our gospel, the story of doubting Thomas, builds on this same foundation. Verses 24 through 29 tells us, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in the hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.' 8 days later, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" When Jesus appears and invites Thomas to touch his wounds, it is, again, not a scolding for having doubt, but a gentle response to his need for proof. This encounter demonstrates the persistence of Jesus and his willingness to meet us in our skepticism, offering the proof we need to transform our doubts into declarations of faith. Thomas's story invites us to consider our own situation. Regular contact with Jesus through prayer, scripture, worship helps transform our doubts into a rock-solid faith. Like Thomas, we are asked to believe in what we have not seen. Yet Jesus does not leave us without evidence of his presence and his power. Through his word, his sacraments, his people, he continually reveals himself to us. And we too may have that pivotal moment when we proclaim like Thomas, "My Lord and my God." This passage from John not only expresses the historical truth of Jesus' resurrection, but invites all of us to engage with the risen Christ in our daily lives. It reminds us that this same Jesus who brought peace to the fearful disciples, who offered his wounds to Thomas, and who breathed the Holy Spirit on his followers, is present with us today, ready to transform our doubts into belief and our fears into peace. And as we reflect on this narrative, let's be encouraged by the patience of the risen Christ, who continues to meet us in our moments of uncertainty and skepticism. His invitation to experience peace, to touch the reality of the resurrection, and to embrace the mission he entrusts to us remains as viable and relevant today as it was for the first disciples. And as we travel our own specific spiritual journeys, may we, like those first disciples, be empowered by the reality of the resurrection, bearing witness to the life-changing power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.